In this new segment of Advisor Revelations, the DPL team will discuss how to evaluate new solutions and address current challenges and the strategies that can help you grow your firm and AUM.
Welcome to the Advisor Revelations podcast with DPL. My name is Blake Phillips. I'm a Regional Vice President of Member Success here at DPL Financial Partners. Today, joining me is Willie Jones, who is a consultant here at DPL Financial. Thanks for joining us, Willie.
Hey, thanks for having me, Blake. I'm excited to be here and get this discussion started.
Awesome. Well, we'll jump right in. So before we start our discussion today, I do want to remind our listeners to please subscribe to the podcast on your favorite streaming app for updates. If anything we talk about today interests you, be sure to connect with a DPL consultant like Willie Jones or myself on our website. It's dplfp.com. Again, that's dplfp.com. So with that, let's get into our program here. So Willie, so that our listeners have a little bit of a better understanding of the type of firms you work with and your experience, can you share a little bit more about yourself and what you do at DPL Financial Partners on day-to-day?
Oh, most definitely. Like I said, I started really about coming up on five years now, and started out as a consultant, basically kind of a jack of all trades, did membership, analyzing annuities, bringing firms on board. Here lately is really excited because we've grown at a company, so I can really focus on the day-to-day of getting new advisors to better understand how to utilize annuities in their practice. And in uncovering that, I realized a lot of times they just don't know a lot about annuities, or that annuities are really a four-letter word in some circumstances. But we here at DPL are really trying to change that. And I'm excited to be on the forefront of really a dynamic shift in the insurance world and the financial industry.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I hear you loud and clear. That's definitely something we're hearing from advisors every day, and excited to hear more about your experiences with that. So kind of taking a step back, let's say for some listeners on the podcast today that aren't that familiar with annuities, or really want to learn why they were created, do you mind taking a little deeper dive into why they exist and really why are annuities around?
Yeah, that's a big question that comes up. And believe it or not, annuities have been around for centuries. There's early examples dating back to the Roman Empire where soldiers were sometimes paid annuities as part of their compensation. Think about it. Soldiers have to go off to war. They have to still take care of their families. It was a great way to do what annuities still do today, and that's provide individuals with a guaranteed stream of income at some point in time. For people nowadays, that's during retirement, because essentially no one wants to outlive their savings and investments and not have money as part of retirement. And taking a small part of that in the beginning and getting it to an insurance company and let them have that risk in exchange for an income stream that you cannot outlive, or even for a certain period of time, really belies a lot of those concerns and lets people enjoy retirement a lot better, because they're not looking at all that market volatility and worried about, oh no, what if there's a dot-com bubble again or a black swan event like COVID?
Yep.
It doesn't affect you when you're getting income day in and day out that does not change.
Yeah, that's a great point, Willie. So kind of to stem off of what you just said there at the end, payments for life. And you know, that's cool to learn for people that didn't know that the Romans did utilize that. That's that's an awesome fact about kind of how annuities started. But payments for life. So that's something you hear a lot in annuities. How do they do that? The term annuitization gets thrown around a lot. Would you mind going a little deeper into what that is and how that could potentially play an impact in a client's financial plan?
Yeah, the basic gist of it is annuitization is just the process of converting an annuity investment that's part of your assets, whether that be from your fixed income, your growth side, into a period of income payments over life. And that's what annuitization is. Now, that being said, there's tons of different ways to go about getting that income for life. And let's be honest, the most popular that advisors know is, hey, I'm going to give this insurance company $200,000 and they're going to guarantee my client at 65 an income stream for life. That's the basis of it. As we'll probably discuss, there's so many other ways to get that income for life that has actually a lot more flexibility and benefits for the end user client.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. I think that's a great segue to kind of the next subtopic here, Willie. So yeah, annuitization, it pays for life. It serves its purpose. But with, you know, modern insurance fee-based solutions available at DPL through our marketplace, as you alluded to, there is a lot more flexibility. There are some additional features that, such as like a long-term care or death benefit, that advisors and clients may find feasible for their clients and practices. So can you take a little deeper dive into the different product types and how those could potentially be utilized to supplement an annuitization or something entirely else in the plan?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And for advisors, this is where you really want to listen in. Because generally speaking, there are four different types of annuities. I'm going to start off with the simplest to what I consider maybe the more complex.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start off with a fixed annuity. A fixed annuity is just like a CD. It's going to give you a guaranteed rate for a guaranteed period of time and total principal protection. In the marketplace now, we also know those as MIGAs,
mm-hmm.
and that stands for a multi-year guaranteed annuity. It's kind of the language that makes it a little easier because we have to separate it from what we call an FIA. An FIA is a fixed index annuity. Now, the big benefit there is that you do have the same total principal protection, but now you have no guarantees, and it's normally tied to an index such as the S&P for performance. So what we say is, hey, you live in a world of, I know I'm going to get this rate for this time, or do I want to take a shot? I want the principal protection. It makes me feel safe, but I want to get better growth and performance. That's when you tie it to an index.
Mm-hmm.
Now, both of those options, by the way, are great bond alternatives. And that's where a lot of our advisors tend to use those because the yields can be more dependable over time. Now, let's talk about VAs. Back in the day, this was really how a lot of annuities were written. And I'm sure you're going to have a lot of clients that have variable annuities out there because they were sold these basically, especially to high net worth clients for tax deferred growth. Now, it's like if I took all my non-qualified money and in a way made it qualified. I put it into an annuity structure and now I don't have to pay capital gains or any taxes on it, but now I can fully participate in the market for the most part. That's why it's called a variable annuity. There are no longer any guarantees to it. You know, as an advisor, you're going to be out there looking for the best investment options to grow those clients' monies, doing trades, protecting it. When the market changes, that's up to you as the advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Blake, really, the really interesting thing is the last, I don't know, would you say 3 or 4 years, there's this new segment called a RILA.
Yep.
So registered index linked annuity. They're kind of the fastest growing segment right now. And I think the best way to explain it is that it's a meld between a VA for growth, but yet an FIA for some protection. Because these RILAs now, depending on your client, because let's be honest, the whole point of investing in clients' money is to get growth. But we all know those clients who look at the market every day and are afraid of everything, and it's hard to do what you need to do. A RILA can fill that segment. Think of it almost like a buffered ETF. I'm going to give your client some downside protection, and they're still going to have a lot of upside protection for growth. And the great thing about it, as an advisor, you get to set what that downside protection is. The insurance company is going to take those losses first. That could be anywhere from 10 to 40%, and you can still get double-digit growth on the upside.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thanks for sharing all those features. And to kind of encapsulate the RILA as well, I believe the statistic, it's been a little over 3 years now. Every quarter, there has been RILA sales growth. So for those listeners that aren't familiar, you know, there are some cyclical times throughout the year where across the industry, there will be ups and downs depending on the product. For a newer product like the RILA in the industry to see that type of consistent growth in the distribution channels across the whole industry tells a lot about what that's doing for clients' plans. You can attach an income rider and create an income stream. You can, as Willie was discussing and alluding to, really utilize that as a customizable risk management packet that's very similar to a buffered ETF, but you get the advantages of the annuity, tax deferral, flexibility, liquidity in some senses. So yeah, that's fantastic. And I expect not just that segment, but a lot of them to continue to grow as we continue to scale this into the advisory fee-based world. So you touched on it a little bit, but how can annuities be utilized for income without annuitization? So if we add the income rider, going a little deeper, how can that be valuable to a client's plan?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Most clients actually never annuitize to get income.
Mm-hmm.
It's done with an income rider. Now, that being said, like once again, we talked about it earlier, advisors generally are familiar with what we call a SPIA. Didn't talk about that earlier. It's a single premium immediate annuity. That's exactly where, hey, I'm going to give this insurance company this lump sum of money, and they're going to give me income for whatever period of time, whether that's life, 10, 20, or whatever. Nowadays, that's kind of the most inefficient way to get income depending on your client's age. What we've noticed here at DPL and probably across the industry, especially when you're using commission-free annuities, an income rider is really beneficial to you and your clients for getting the income. One, they tend to get better income. Two, they have flexibility. And three, a lot of these income annuities allow you as an advisor to charge your normal AUM fee and have it come directly out of the annuity without affecting that client's income. Now, that being said, where it comes up, always people always talking about it, oh, annuities have hidden fees. I can't understand how the annuity works. Well, on these type of annuities, when you add a rider, generally that rider cost varies between 50 bips, which is 0.5%, to maybe 1.5% at the high end. And the great thing about it, as you said earlier, Blake, these riders can go on any of the types of annuities that we've discussed about. So you can basically, if you want to use a RILA or a VA, hey, I'm going to get my client a lot of growth, but if they need income, it's going to be there, but it's also great for legacy planning. What if they don't need income? If you're saying, definitely, my client wants to bridge that gap before he's 70 and start taking Social Security, I want to maximize that income, well, an FIA with an income rider is probably going to get them the most and the longest benefits for the longest time. The whole point of that is that here at DPL, we're going to help you find out which solutions customize to fit your client's needs and benefit them the most.
Yeah, that's great. With some of the RILAs, FIAs, fixed annuities, and VAs now having the ability to add those income riders seamlessly, I think it really comes down to giving the advisor autonomy, as you said, to choose, okay, this is a really risk-averse client versus this client. They need a little bit more volatility while taking away the commissions, really creating the more liquid solutions and more flexible products, and still giving them the ability to create an income stream or private pension and retirement is really separating the fee-based world from what it once was in the annuity sector. So that's great, great insights.
One of the biggest things you said also that we probably didn't touch on is, let's be honest, why are advisors taking on all that risk for income when there's better ways to do it?
Yeah.
Because gone are the days of the pension. You guys aren't seeing that a lot. You might see a couple of state ones. And basically, those are SPIAs. They're going to give up that asset to get that income. Make sure you reach out to your DPL representative and have them run an analysis to see if it can put them in a better place. Because a lot of times they can create the same personal pension now that's risked the insurance company instead of the employer. And generally, the insurance company has been around a lot longer than those employers and get those same benefits, but also, as we discussed before, with a lot more flexibility.
Yeah. And before we go to the next question here, that's a really good point. Thanks for bringing that up. So in that private pension argument, whether if we're comparing to a pension or the client needs some sort of guaranteed income floor, do you have any kind of brief success stories to where maybe an advisor was pessimistic about utilizing an annuity solution and then they looked at it and completely changed their mind? Is that something you've run across in the past?
Oh, yeah. It's with everyone, because I always say, if you have clients and, you know, advisors do a good job of planning, they know, hey, this is a pension. Before, they would just write that off. Okay, give me the data. This is the pension you're going to get. I think me and you and everyone else has done a better job of saying, before you commit to that decision, send it over to us. If we know they have $500,000 at the pension and it's going to produce this much income for that worker for the rest of their life, we've been able to give them joint income that way outweighs what that pension is going to give them. And remember, they still have access to that asset if something changes or an emergency come up, or most importantly, if they pass away prematurely. That's the biggest thing of giving up an asset on a SPIA or a pension. I don't know my death date. I don't think most people do. And of course, annuities are a longevity risk, but what if I can get that longevity hedge? And if something happens to me or me and my spouse prematurely, there is an asset that can be passed on to my beneficiaries.
Yeah, and I think that's very key in the planning and decision-making process. And I'll second what Willie was saying there to our listeners today, that if you do have a very competitive pension or a very competitive strategy, all we're asking is that you look at these solutions to act in the best interest of your client. It's not always going to make sense, but we find that more times than not, it is at least a strong conversation starter, and the client knows that you're going to bat for them to look across the whole industry at creative solutions to try to solve for their income and risk management needs.
Definitely, definitely.
Awesome. Well, a couple more questions here, Willie. Been great so far talking to you. One, we talked about it a little earlier, but would you take a little deeper dive into non-income annuities? So you'd mentioned some bond alternatives, some guaranteed rates of return. let's just say I'm an advisor. I'm pretty comfortable with how bonds have been performing over the long period of time, or treasuries, or my clients are heavy in CDs. Where can I really find value in this? Is it just going to be a minimal value to my practice, to my client? Is this really something I should start having meetings around and having on my menu of options for clients? Where have you kind of seen some successes that in your conversations with advisors that would probably be useful for advisors to hear, so they can not just grow their practice, but, you know, bring more value to the client in their meetings?
Yeah, I mean, this is something we're doing. Let's be honest, but we're trying to fundamentally change part of the financial services industry. Mm-hmm. Like so we said before, annuities can have a bad name to some people. But remember, it's just an instrument. I used to say it's just another arrow in my quiver that I can use depending on those clients' needs. And here's a prime example I use for advisors. And for some reason, I've met advisors that think as agents, we want everything to be an annuity. That is not true at all. I mean, we want you to utilize something that can do something no matter how hard you try, you cannot do. And that's guarantees and total principal protection. It's not possible. Mm-hmm. So I always say, hey, maybe you have a client that has $1 million. Nice and simple. They have a 60-40 portfolio. You know, you're getting close to retirement. You've got 60 in growth and 40 in fixed income. What we asked you is just to look at half of that fixed income allocation and try putting into an annuity for a protection strategy and a bond alternative and see what the yield difference are over a 2 to 4, maybe 5-year period. Mm-hmm. And you will be really shocked of how well your clients can do by just having an annuity and a MISC, and even how much better it can change a Monte Carlo score if you're utilizing that. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things, because believe it or not, we have some clients that call in and I tend to take those, is think about the psychology of the client. Every client's different, especially in a couple. One might be a big risk taker, one might not be. You have to try to manage all those different personalities. And if you can look at a client and say, hey, we're going to take part of your money out of that portfolio, and I'm going to give you a personal pension. We're going to take care of all your base expenses, guaranteed for the rest of your life. And Blake, as we know, there's even COLA riders on some of these that'll keep up with inflation now.
Yeah, exactly.
So now you've given them all the base expenses is taken care of. You've gotten rid of the longevity risk because the annuity is going to pay for life no matter how long they live. You no longer have to take that from the portfolio. You set it up. It also allows you to be a little bit more aggressive on the growth side because you've given that client some peace of mind. And another thing is statement protection. I remember back when COVID first hit in that February to March, almost April, clients' quarterly statements did not look good at all.
No.
Not at all. But clients that had annuities that were still paying their income, they realize it's a phase. The market happens, there's ups and downs. They stayed in that market to reap the benefits less than 6 months later of unprecedented growth. Let's be honest, a client tends to buy high and sell low. And that's exactly what would have happened in that period. But if they would have had the peace of mind and knowing my income isn't going to be affected the way I want to live coming from retirement because we've taken care of all the base stuff, they're more apt to stay in the plan for a longer period of time. And I mentioned statement protection. Let's be honest, advisors, when they get a statement and they see all reds or all negatives, they're calling you on the phone a lot faster. Having part of an annuity with principal protection that can only go up or become what I used to say, zero is a hero in a down market, they're going to stay with that plan a little longer and make sure you're the one they call to say, hey, thanks, because my friends are down 20%. I'm only down 5 and I'm still growing.
Yeah. That's great. I couldn't set it better myself there, Willie. I think that's a great takeaway for the listeners today on the podcast, and really appreciate you for your time and, you know, efforts in answering these questions. I do hope that the listeners today kind of leave with a couple key items. I think one that, you know, Willie and I both hit on in different aspects today is we threw a lot at you. There's a lot of different annuity types. Working with DPL, we try to make it as simple as possible. And it's seamless and scalable for your practice. That's what it's all about, helping clients help grow your practice in a scalable fashion. But we just want to position ourselves as a quiver in your toolkit. We are just another tool in your toolkit that you guys can utilize to grow your business and better serve clients, which is the name of the business nowadays in the RIA fiduciary landscape. So with that, Willie, really appreciate your time today and thoughts on everything we covered, and looking forward to continuing to work with you. Any closing comments or thoughts for the listeners before we sign off?
I would say always a pleasure to talk with you, Blake. And advisors out there, if you're taking a look at this, it was a quick podcast. Take a look at some points. Please reach out to your DPL representative. If you happen to find this and you're not part of DPL yet, still reach out to us. And we've been beneficial to advisors to really help grow their practice, grow their AUM. Why let those assets sit in a bank when you can bring them over, give them better solutions, and create a win for you and a win for your client?
Perfect. With that, thanks everyone for being with us today. Again, connect with Willie and I and some of our colleagues at dplfp.com and subscribe for more episodes wherever you listen to your podcast. Everyone have a great evening. Thank you.
Good night. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. To hear more advisor revelations, go to dplfp.com and subscribe on your favorite podcast streaming app.